Carolyn meets Charlie Hollis, who spent 18 months working on an animal reserve in Argentina, using his experience as a horse healer to treat ailing animals in the reserve.
Charlie, thank you very much for taking the opportunity to come and talk to us about a very interesting experience you had early in, I think, in your retirement.
Yes, it was. It was quite remarkable, actually. I spent the best part of 18 months in Argentina. Mm-hmm. I worked on, primarily at an animal reserve called Pumacahua in the province of Córdoba, not too far from the Chilean border. Quite an amazing experience. Yes, it was.
Yeah. How did you come to choose to go onto an Argentine animal reserve?
Well, it was a bit of a long story, but I was fairly well retired by then. And I reached a point where I kind of felt that I wasn't perhaps using my life in the most useful way. I was involved in a number of things, but I just had this thing overtook me. I would like to kind of spend some time volunteering and really offering something to people who are maybe less advantaged than I am. I have some Spanish connections. I lived in Spain. I'd never been to South America. And I really fancied, you know, somewhere in South America. Initially, I didn't know where. Mm-hmm. But I found an organization that organizes volunteers overseas, and I got in touch. And they had a couple of projects in Argentina that looked really, really interesting. The first one, in fact, was equine therapy, which I went on to for a period of about 2.5 months. But it was in the heat of the summer, or coming up to the heat of the summer, and that project didn't work through the real hot part of the summer, which in Argentina, of course, is our winter, simply because it was just too much working outside with, you know, disadvantaged kids and mainly autistic kids. So I then went on to the animal reserve and just fell in love with it. And I was there for 3 months, came back briefly to this country, and then went back for a full year and had an amazing time.
And did you bring any of your experience or skills to the role, or...
Yes, indeed. I've worked for quite some years as a horse healer. I've done a lot of work with animals generally, a lot of healing work with animals. So, yes, I took that basic experience. I have a love of animals. I enjoy physical work. So I also got roped into many things around the reserve, because obviously the whole place has to be maintained as well as the animals looked after. And because years ago I used to be a builder, they kind of tapped into my practical skills, and I got roped in for all sorts of jobs around the place, which was fun as well. I enjoyed that.
What was day-to-day life like on the reserve?
Very hard work. I was up pretty early most days, particularly in the really hot weather. I was usually up at about 5 o'clock. All the animals had to be fed and watered. And, of course, water is a major problem in the summer over there, in that you have to make sure the animals have got constant fresh water during the course of the day, because even though you might fill up their water bowls and etc., that can evaporate, you know, so that had to be done. They all had to be fed. Each one has a very different feeding routine. I mean, we had everything from pumas, we had 12 pumas, to monkeys, to guanacos, llamas.
What are guanacos?
Guanaco is the llama family, but it is the wild version of the llama. It's actually the prime food source for the puma in the wild. We had those. We had an eagle. We had a lot of birds of prey. We had small animals, rabbits and foxes and all sorts. And each one had a very different feeding routine. And it was really, really important that each one had exactly what they were meant to have, because the wrong food could actually be quite harmful for the wrong animal. And after a while, I had responsibility for doing a lot of that together with some of the other people there, obviously. And then we had a seed bank of seeds for endangered local species. That was another aspect of the reserve. So there were always seeds to look after, to sort, to dry, and so on.
What were some of the flora and fauna like in that region? Probably quite arid area, wasn't it?
No, not especially, actually, because where I was a little bit higher up into the Sierra, not quite up into the mountains, but higher up into the hills. So it was actually a reasonably green area, hot in the summer, obviously, but not parched. It wasn't desert country. I mean, for desert country, you're looking perhaps a little bit further south in Argentina, maybe more inland as well, because I was kind of north-ish. I mean, it's a huge country. Mm. And top to bottom, it's a tremendous length.
It's a long and thin country, isn't
it? Yes, yes, it is, yeah. So, yeah, there was, you know, and a lot of, as with so many parts of the world, with felling, with an encroachment by farmers, a lot of plants are being lost. And, you know, one of the things at the reserve was an attempt to reforest the land. And so they would, you know, dry seeds from endangered species and then give them out to school children, give them out through some of the local papers and magazines so that people could actually then plant at home. You know, tremendous work that they were doing.
Were there any plants that we would be familiar here?
Yes, quite a lot, though. Mulberries, and they tend to grow very big, the mulberries, absolutely huge, in fact. It was a fruit which a lot of the animals really like as well. Mm. Monkeys love it. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of the animals like it. There were plants that, you know, we were perhaps familiar. I must confess that that's an area I'm not super knowledgeable about. But yes, there were sort of species of oak as well, but obviously a whole range of things that we wouldn't find here as well.
And were you able to apply your skills of equine therapy while you were there?
Yes. Well, when I talk about healing, also healing with animals, because what I've done and still do to some extent is hands-on healing work. So I would kind of use that in situations where there was a sick animal. I would perhaps help to reinforce the animal's energy. I worked with quite a lot of the people as well, you know, a lot of the people who were there kind of learned what I did and asked me to work with them. And if we had an animal for which the vet was called, then I would often sort of follow that up, you know, after the animal was recuperating, do a little bit of work to kind of build up their strength and so on.
Now, hands-on healing to a wild cat like a puma sounds pretty scary to me.
In the case of the pumas, there were virtually none of them that we were able to go physically into the cages with. Mm. The animals at the reserve came to the reserve in a number of ways. Many were victims of the illegal pet trade, which is rife in Argentina, sadly. People would get a puma as a little kitten. Well, of course, it's a nice, cuddly animal for about 2 or 3 months. Ooh. But it's not long before it becomes potentially dangerous, by which time you've destroyed its natural instincts, and so it's probably completely forgotten how to survive in the wild. So they would come to the reserve and we would look after them until they died.
So your task wasn't to rehabilitate the animals back into their
wild habitat? If possible, yes. But in the case of the pumas, virtually impossible. And in the case of, for example, of the monkeys that we had three. We had two howler monkeys and we had another one. They again were, you know, victims of the illegal pet trade. There was no way they were going to survive in the wild, so they had to be with us for life. Other animals, where possible, yes, we could rehabilitate and release. Fox, for example, some of the birds of prey. The eagle, no, because he was a victim of being shot. He could never fly, so he was with us for life. But where possible, yes, they would be released. And there was, in fact, a kind of another part of the reserve, apart from the main one where I worked, which was a huge area. I mean, it was 50 or 60 hectares or more, but fully fenced in, and the animals could be released there once they were ready. And then if they were fully okay, then they could perhaps go absolutely out to the wild again.
That must have been a very satisfying part of...
Yeah, it was. I remember, in fact, almost the first week I was there, I went up with him when they released one little animal. And, you know, he was out of his cage and he was off and it was just wonderful. It was wonderful.
Was it difficult to come home again after that?
Extremely difficult. Because, in fact, I had hoped to take up residency there. And unfortunately, there was one criteria which I didn't fulfil for their residency requirements. So, you know, quite unexpectedly, towards the end of the second full stretch of the year that I was there, I realised I was going to have to come home. And that was extremely difficult. It was a big wrench. I'd invested a huge amount emotionally as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd become a part of the place. I'd become part of the reserve, part of the village. Kind of everyone knew me, and I, you know, I was building really good friendships. That's life. It happens.
I think the experiences like that, when we come home, we must gain a different, completely, a more holistic impression of your whole time there. Do you feel that that's happened?
Yes. I mean, it's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful country, wonderful people. I fell in love with the culture, with everything about it. We have the idea, I think, in many kind of industrialized Western countries, that we are the only people who have an understanding of, you know, what's happening in the world and the, you know, the climate crisis or whatever. This is just so far from the truth. The awareness amongst the Argentinian people, their love of animals. I mean, again, we think we're the only animal lovers in the world. They're completely dotty about animals. Absolutely, you know, it's quite remarkable. They have a huge awareness of the damage that we're doing to the planet. There are many, many people there who are working really hard to try and reverse that process. I mean, that was part of what the reserve was all about. And I still obviously have, you know, contact, and I, you know, speak with friends either on WhatsApp or Skype and so on. I was able to go back briefly last winter, just after
our
Christmas.
Winter or their winter?
Our winter, yes.
Their summer.
Their summer, yes. Mm-hmm. So kind of January, you know, last year, nearly 12 months ago, I went back for a short visit, sort of 3 weeks. And that was wonderful to reconnect, and you know, and the animals remembered me. Many of the animals just knew me. Quite remarkable. And that was lovely. Yes. So, but yes, obviously, you know, when you're away, then also, you know, things do change. You move on. You have to move on. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've realized that wonderful a period though it was, it has now on a certain level moved into my past, and I have to be where I am. This is where I am. And, you know, I won't be able to go back there on any permanent basis. And possibly I may not even be able to go back, because I'm afraid long-haul flights are... my health won't deal with that. So it could be that I actually will never go back, which is sad. And, you know, sometimes when I'm chatting to my friends over there, I get this real kind of pull, you know, heartstrings get tugged. And but that's the way it is. That's the way it is.
And can you apply anything that you really gained back home?
Well, I think one of the things that struck me was the simplicity of life over there. Now, it's not to say that they're not sophisticated. There are very sophisticated people. But in the main, they haven't yet got sucked into the materialist, consumerist lifestyle to which so many people in Western countries are in thrall. They live with much less. And I was already much of that mindset, but I think that has really become very much how I now live. I live a very minimalist lifestyle. I mean, in the flat that I have almost nothing bar what I need in terms of, you know, cooking, clothing, etc. I have a computer, and beyond that, there's really nothing. I have virtually no adornments, nothing up on the walls and this kind of thing. I live very simply. Now, that suits me. It doesn't suit everybody, obviously. Kind of a very simple lifestyle was perhaps encouraged by my experiences over there, and that is definitely something that I've brought back.
Caroline was talking to Charlie Hollis.